It is time now for Oh, the Humanities, taking a look at humanities scholarship events and research on campus and beyond, and of course online now. Carolina Public Humanities putting on a number of events even now as campuses are closed and we're all getting through COVID-19 together. You can head to their website, humanities.unc.edu, for more information. They've got an upcoming virtual humanities happy hour next week, Thursday the 14th. That's their next one. It's going to cover religion in isolation and pandemics. We talked to Joanna Smith last week about that. Today, we are joined by someone who is not involved necessarily in that particular happy hour, but who actually just did a happy hour for Carolina Public Humanities on theater in an age of pandemic. Today, we'll be discussing the intersection of plague and drama in ancient Greece, for we are joined by Al Duncan, who is a professor of classics at UNC. Al, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Aaron, I'm doing great, all things considered. And thank you so much for having me on. Thanks for making space for the humanities, because I think we do have something to contribute to all this.
Absolutely. So tell us about, first of all, before we get into the specifics of theater in the midst of all of this and what we can learn from the past, tell us about yourself. What is your research on?
Yeah, sure. I'm an assistant professor of classics at UNC Chapel Hill, and I work on Greek drama kind of writ large. I work on comedy, tragedy, and I'm interested in how it was performed and how it was received by ancient audiences. For me, theater is always a two-way street. It's not just a presentation that we, as the audience members, passively receive, but it's something that's doing a lot of community and social work. So I'm always interested in how we can kind of imagine what the ancient audiences were thinking, seeing, smelling even, as they're engaging with what's happening on, not only on the stage in front of them, but with each other and with the outside world that's going on constantly outside the theater. Every time you walk into a theater show, even if it's a repeat, you're bringing that day's news, that day's emotions with you, and that's reflected in the works we have.
So how does just picking up on the day's news and how that impacts the experience that you have going into the theater, I assume it also impacts the experience of the actors performing and all of the crew behind the scenes and the playwright who's writing the play in the first place. So how does plague enter into this? How do pandemics enter into this? Because this isn't our, this is our first time at the rodeo, but it's not humanities. The ancient Greeks went through this as well, too, right?
No, exactly. And as we're finding right now, it saturates the media market, right? Everyone is talking about this. Few things are as collective as an experience as a plague. And that transforms or translates really well into theater, because theater is dependent constantly on those kind of shorthands, those understandings, something that an actor can say, a playwright can write, which will he knows or she knows, but for the ancient world, it's always a he. We're talking about blokes here. When he writes that, he's able to say, I know my audience is going to connect not only intellectual, but deeply emotionally. And when you're trying to work with the emotions of tragedy, pity, fear, loss, you're going to touch a nerve if you talk about plague, and something that all the Greeks were experiencing, but especially those in Athens from 430 to 427. And it happens that a lot of the plagues are, sorry, Freudian slip there. A lot of the plays we have from the ancient world come from right after this moment when Athens experienced a really devastating plague.
Interesting. Speaking with Al Duncan, assistant professor of classics at UNC, humanities.unc.edu, by the way, for more on Carolina Public Humanities, including upcoming events. So how does this play out specifically in theater? I've read articles and I've read some really good pieces about ancient Greek philosophy and how it's very much a response to war, and specifically, I think the Peloponnesian War. I haven't read or seen much about the response of Greek writers to plagues and pandemics. So how does this actually play out?
Yeah, great question, because plagues are part of the Greek imagination from as early as Homer. We have the Iliad opening up with the story of a plague, and that's a through line throughout Greek history, because they were dealing with these things periodically. This was an era before the public health systems that we came to rely on and forgot we were relying on in the current circumstances. But as this came to a head in, you're talking about the so-called Peloponnesian War. It's technically the second Peloponnesian War between Athens and Sparta and its allies in the 430s on BCE. As this happened, there was a war that was putting all of the people from the Athenian hinterland into the city. City streets and public spaces were packed with individuals, and this became a ripe kind of breeding ground for the plague. Estimates vary, but a large proportion of the city's population succumbed to this, and even Thucydides, who we have a lot of information from this, fell ill with the plague, but then managed to survive and thankfully write a history of it. That's all the prose side. On the poetry side, we see people like the playwright Sophocles, who famously wrote the Theban plays, Antigone. I'm sure many of your listeners will know Antigone and the Oedipus plays. Mm-hmm. And Oedipus begins with a group of Theban citizens coming to Oedipus, begging him for some kind of guidance, because they've recognized that as much as these are public health and safety issues, they're also fundamentally political problems that beg for political solutions. So we see the plays as a space that are reflecting the sort of group dynamics that we see when we want to be able to talk to each other, see what's going on, and then turn that mouthpiece toward our citizens, our elected officials, those who are in power, who we hope have the wherewithal and the foresight and the insights and the expertise to really address this head on. Oedipus, as someone who had solved the mystery of the Sphinx, gave a great symbol of that kind of leadership for the Thebans, but even he couldn't quite get to the bottom of his own problem.
So in terms of the themes that we get from all of these plays, we see playwrights and we see actors and people in drama wrestling with these topics. Are there specific themes or messages that emerge? Do different playwrights come to different conclusions?
Well, I think there's we only unfortunately are dealing with two tragedians from this era, Sophocles and Euripides, but both of these are clearly showing in their language and in their kind of descriptions of disease, real emotional scar tissue and collective scar tissue from this. They're wrestling with what it means to get out of one of these pandemics, because nobody sees it coming. You can't, if you could predict it, you would avoid it. But once it's landed in your lap, this is the sort of tragic narrative that we're used to writ large, right? We have a tragic hero who stumbles into some sort of impossible situation. And what the narrative follows is this through line of how do you handle uncertainty, adversity, disagreements. Because these are all the steps that you need to overcome to get to a good outcome. Now, I'm not spoiling anything, I think, when I say that tragedy tends to end badly. but I think that's a useful thing for us to see as audiences, that we know that this can go badly. But even then, there's always someone standing at the end of the tragedy. There's always a way forward. And even if a political figure gets caught up in this, we generally have, survival, advancement. There is a message of hope if you can read between the lines. But for those who get caught up in the and think, the word hubris gets thrown around too loosely for this classics professor's perspective on Greek drama. But there is something to be said for not being cavalier about these things, that from the level of the lowest citizen to the highest office holder in the land, we all need to look into this and be circumspect and imagine how we could get out of this together, because it is going to be about doing it together.
Yeah. Speaking with Al Duncan again, UNC professor of classics, humanities.unc.edu for more info on Carolina Public Humanities. They've got some virtual humanities happy hours coming up. Next one's going to be next week on religion in the context of pandemics. So that should be an interesting one to check out. So hearing you talk about this, I'm thinking back to kind of the last really collective experience of tragedy that we all had to face recently in the semi-recent past, which is September 11th, and the extent to which that just shadowed over so much of the literature and the film and the music and the TV and everything that was produced for the next 10 years after that, to the point where, you know, stoner comedies would come out and there would be like a little, there would be some wrestling with 9/11 in the midst of that. Like, I remember Superman Returns came out in 2006 and someone was like, you know, this is actually about 9/11. I went back and watched it. It's like, oh my God, you're right.
Wow.
Every single thing. So I presume we're going to be experiencing this in the coming years. And I assume that, you know, back in ancient Greece, there are going to be some plays, there are going to be some productions that don't necessarily wrestle directly with immediate topics, but they're colored by the plague in some way, right?
Yes, and this is going to be, you know, something that producers at Netflix and Amazon are going to need to kind of consider as we go forward. Yeah, what will be our answer to Jack Bauer in 24, right, for the new COVID moment? It's a great question, Aaron. And frankly, on the one hand, I don't know how Hollywood and producers are going to tackle this. But getting back to my earlier point about theater being a two-way street, this is now in the water culturally for us. And even if it's a show that's not, you know, ostensibly or even purposefully engaged with issues of plague and pandemic, we're going to be seeing it in that way.
Yep.
So that's now a fundamental building block of narratives that we're all getting through this the best we can. It's going to leave, you know, happy memories, sad memories. We've had great weather in Chapel Hill. That's how I'm going to remember this early moment of the pandemic. But I'm sure there are going to be tragedies coming down the pike. This is going to be something that we feel collectively and that narratives will help us heal. I think there was a friend of mine, a kind of connection to UNC Classics, Robin Mitchell Boyask. He's actually a professor at Temple, but his son went to UNC. He's written a book on plague and the Athenian imagination, and he saw that right after the plague came, they put up a temple, a kind of shrine to Asclepius, this god of healing, right next to the Athenian theater complex. And that they sort of saw the connections between this collective action, this collective healing, this kind of group therapy that theater offered, and the more kind of medicinal, medical aspects of healing within the ancient world, this kind of geographic proximity for Mitchell Boyask and for me, you know, reflects this kind of closer connection between storytelling and humanities and our medical, you know, professionals and medical establishment. Now, I don't want to say let's tell stories and it will go away. We have to put first things first. But as we get through the immediate physical concerns and start dealing with the psychological fallout of this, which many of us are already facing, I think storytelling is going to be an essential part, and collective storytelling is at that. I can't wait till we can be back in the theaters together safely.
Sure. Again, speaking with Al Duncan, and we've got to wrap up, but as we do, shifting out of this topic, tell us about your book. It's on a really fascinating topic of ugliness, right?
Oh, thanks for the plug, Aaron. I appreciate this. Yeah, I work on aesthetics in Greek drama, which can be a rarefied topic. But getting back to Oedipus, here's this guy who blinds himself, has slept with his mother, is old, is walking into the city of Athens, and he claims that he's a benefit for the city, that he's going to bring something to them. And it takes the whole play, this is Oedipus at Colonus, to wrap the citizens' heads around that. So I'm hoping we can find some beauty in the current ugliness of our moment right now. I think that emotional effort is usually worth it, finding the beauty in the ugliness, in the pain.
Humanities.unc.edu for more information on Carolina Public Humanities, including upcoming events. Next Thursday, the 14th, a week from this Thursday, is their next virtual happy hour on religion in isolation and pandemics. Al Duncan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Aaron. This was a pleasure.